What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I wanted to play some of the audio from last night. Pretty jubilant vibe in Tampa. Let's start with Jaden. Jaden Daniels talking about the final drive. 4:41 on the clock. Tampa never got the ball back. A couple of huge third down conversions. One to De'Ami Brown for 21 yards. One, Jaden kept himself on the QB counter. Needed two, got four. Just so impressive. Jaden on the final drive.
Do you think in that situation, yes, we need to score, but more importantly, we can't let them get the ball?
Selfishly, I wanted to score, but that's why I don't coach. Just go out there and play, DQ and then make those decisions. But obviously, you got to be smart. We don't want to give them the opportunity to go out there and, you never know what happens in this game. So obviously, we get a couple first downs, slow some things down, make them use their timeouts, and, we keep going from there.
I think they handled that really well. I think Bowles and Tampa did not, but that's cool. that's cool with me. I just how poised and cool Jaden's going to be kind of at all times, and you lean on that in that situation.
Well, I think the thing about it is, Todd was going to try to rattle him. And once you see that you can't rattle him, all of a sudden, that's all over with, They backed off a little bit on what they were doing. I think they were getting pressure with their up front, but that dude sat in that pocket and delivered the football.
Number three, Landini, I want to hear, this is Jaden Daniels talking about yet again, another fourth down touchdown throw to Terry McLaurin that gave them the lead.
Everybody was pushed. Essentially, it was 4-3 to our receivers. Terry wasn't necessarily one-on-one, but, he had a corner outside leverage. You got the safety inside leverage to take away anything. So I was able to check some, and, Terry made the play.
Do you hear with him how he is just always so humble, so differential? Like, Terry made the play. You made an incredible throw on fourth down, dog. You checked him into it. Like, yeah. Terry did make a hell of a play. I'm not taking anything away from anybody else, but he never wants the spotlight. Like, he always wants to credit his teammates.
Like I always say, quarterback is the most dependent position in sports. And I think when you truly play that position how it's supposed to be played, you realize you need other people around you for you to be successful. And it's so much easier to just hand that credit off to them, because those same dudes are going to work their ass off even more for you because you do that. Dude's smart. He understands how to play it.
I think you had, last night especially, you had elite play calling. I think you had elite quarterback play and guys that made plays when they had to, man. And it's crazy what that kind of combination can do, dude. And it was just what they've built. Number one, Lanville, what they've built in that locker room, Jaden won. What they have built in that locker room, the vibes, the culture, all of it, you can't replicate. You can't manufacture that stuff. There is no synthetic brotherhood. It has to be organic. It has to be real. It has to be natural.
That's just the brotherhood and that DQ. That DQ set, the brotherhood, the togetherness that we have within the locker room. Obviously, the people that have been around has been in the locker room. You can see how close we are off the field. And we're always hanging around each other. Everybody gets along with each other. So I think those moments, when times get tough, we fall back on those type of moments.
They've fought back from those types of moments.
And you watch them, man. Like you'll see guys doing interviews and there's one guy waiting for him. Guys, they really, really have a togetherness that you need in sports. And people think that is something that people just say. Well, teams that are more close-knit, they win a lot more.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's how you build it, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go to DQ then, who I think coached a really good game. Defensively, they were quite good. This could have gone a different way, especially if they didn't the Jaden to Terry touchdown on fourth down. DQ was really aggressive on fourth down throughout the game.
Yes, he was.
3 of 5. What I have said all year is that I want a coach that's consistent. So if that's your mindset, if you're going to be aggressive on fourth down, keep it the same. You can't. There's no such thing as halfway crooks. You can't be halfway in on being aggressive on fourth down. You have to continue to do it because that's the only way the math works out. And the math ended up working out last night because if you score on 3 of those drives, it doesn't matter that you left 6 on the table. Mm-hmm. Landfill, number 2, DQ on fourth down aggressiveness.
Yeah, it's twofold. One, it is something that we do. We practice a lot. We're something that is part of our game. A lot of it has to do with number 5. And sometimes he can make a play that takes place that was not the huddle call by using his legs and doing that. Today, early on, we got stopped, I believe, on our first one. I'm not certain of that, but I wasn't going to stop us into that spot. We were going to be bold but not reckless. And I think that's who we are, you know, the whole season. But when you do get stopped early, you just have to stay the course knowing that, hey, keep your chin tucked and keep swinging, knowing that this is going to be a game that's going to go all the way down to the end.
It did. It went all the way to the end, and they've proven that they are comfortable in that. Bold but not reckless is a line I really like. I really appreciate. Attack success is something Sean McVay always used to say. I feel like bold but not reckless is in that same vein. It is how, you know, football is a violent sport played by physical men. You better be bold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I get that you can argue the outcome of events. I don't disagree with their logic to arrive at the decisions. And I haven't all year on the fourth down stuff.
You go for it?
Yeah.
Feel.
But you have to be consistent if you're going to do it.
Yeah, and I think in that game, so I was talking with Lamont yesterday, and I kept saying, I can't be mad at them because that's what they've been all year. You know, he's been aggressive like that all year. I am not going to knock them for being what you are. And they were 3 of 5 on it. That works. You know?
Yeah.
If they were to just, you know, we don't know. If they kick a field goal, they don't go for some of them. We don't know what really happens. But the ultimate thing is they won the football game.
Totally.
And they did it their way.
You want something
like Frank Sinatra.
Last night, we were doing, this is getting late in the night, probably towards the end of Sports Final on Channel 4, and we were in sound on DQ about the fourth downs. And I was like, I said to Kerwin, I was like, yo, what were they? He's like, 3 of 5. And he can see me doing the math in my head. He's like, that's 60%, dog.
Yep.
A guy that showed up last night, the way especially playoff games get won is by unexpected productivity. Dan Quinn talking about De'Ami Brown last night.
Yeah, certainly proud of him because of got injured just a few weeks ago, worked hard to get back to make sure he was ready and able to deliver into that spot. And the one screen, I thought was a great block by Wiley to, you know, get it, but it was nice to see De'Ami step into that space. There's a lot of guys that are ready to step into those moments. And as some players we were entering into their first playoff experiences to go, as you get into it, it's ball, you know, and you get into it. But the nerves sometimes leading up to it can feel a lot. There's a lot of extra energy. And we said, let's use that energy for good in the terms of the preparation of how we go. But, yeah, I was certainly proud of him. I told him that in the locker room.
Hard not to be. De'Ami goes 5 for 89 with a touchdown. An absolutely huge conversion on a third down on that last drive when they were still kind of deep in their own territory. just really impressive. Another impressive player that has been great all year that, you know, I think of you, I think it was last week when you were talking about the Tampa touchdown you scored, the kickoff return, mm-hmm. and then a week later, they thought you had lost a step and let you go to Philly. The conversation surrounding Bobby Wagner coming into this season was, yo, I don't know what he's got left.
He got a lot. He got a lot left, man. That dude can play. And he is a straight leader. You know, He's talking to everyone. Offense, defense, doesn't make a difference. And when you have a guy that everybody kind of trusts and go to as a mentor, that's some good there.
Bro, Dan Quinn talking about Bobby Wagner.
He is a rare competitor. So much of his success is unseen work. And I'm in early. He's already there. He'll be the first one in tomorrow. I'm certain of it. He's just that type of competitor, David, that he doesn't back off of it. He's very disciplined. And I think disciplined is like can be seen as a negative word. But in this instance, I'm talking like the focus and the discipline to stay at it. Like, that's not easy to do. And he's got incredible commitment to it. He definitely affects the other players around us. And so he was the last guy to come in today. And it was cool to see everybody, pumped for him. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Wagner is really, really impressive and has delivered an element to this defense of.
He was different yesterday. Because normally he's so, low-key.
Yeah.
After that first, he had a first tackle or whatever. He put a little extra oomph into that. Somebody must say something. That's just the way I look at it.
Yeah, probably. I think being comfortable being uncomfortable is something this staff worked on going all the way back to training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the comfortability late in these kind of games, you think about the Bears, you think about Philly, the win against Philly here, think about the Atlanta game. This group does not get rattled.
They don't.
As a coach, you practice it a lot. Honestly, we do. But it is different in the games. And so being in a lot of those close games and not winning them all, there's a lot of lessons to take off of those. There's been a lot of tell the truth Mondays that we went down to the end. We talked about why it went right or why it didn't. And in that space, collectively, you can feel the belief from the team on the sideline. It's a really connected team. They believe in one another. And you have to have connection to also have belief. I think they kind of go hand in hand. And like I said, early on, we didn't know who we were. We didn't know who we were. That's not a fair thing to say. Early on, we hadn't had an identity yet. And we didn't have the belief in one another yet, meaning the opening game. And so it took a lot of work to get into that space, and this team has now bonded and connected. And in these winning time moments, they have a lot of faith.
I think that's so true.
Yep.
This team is so different now than they were in early September. And the moment I point to, honestly, and I said this then, you can go check the stats. Non-believers, you can check the stats. halftime of the Giants game, to me, is when things slowed down for Jaden. If you go look at the second half against the Giants is when he stayed in the pocket, started beating everybody with his arm, realized, all right, I can handle this pace. I can handle this speed. I can win right here. Don't have to drop my eyes. Don't have to run.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, that was three halves of football. That was six quarters of NFL football.
Mm-hmm.
And then the light switched.
Yeah.
It takes dudes
But
years.
They talk about
Some
that.
Some dudes never... The light never switches.
The VR, virtual reality, the stuff, it talks about how you can absorb what you're seeing so much quicker doing that than you do just watching regular film. And he was the first to do it,
Totally.
And it worked for him. And look, keep doing it. And like other people may be trying it now, may not work the same for them.
And B, All week going forward, right? We get to enjoy this one on an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real cathartic release that they finally won a playoff game, and you don't have to count back 19 years ago before the internet or whatever, right? Like I doubt Instagram existed in 2005. And now you look ahead, and they're going to play Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit is a freight train. At least nobody here is going to start telling you how Detroit's bad and maybe they can score a bunch on them. They're 15-2, dude. They're 15-2, best scoring offense in the NFL. They're really good defensively on third downs. Like that, Detroit does a lot well. And I'm not the dude that's going to try to tell you that Detroit isn't good, Mm-hmm. But I do believe Washington will compete with anybody.
Hell yeah.
And I think if Jaden Daniels has the ball in his hand, there's a belief in this football team. And I think you got to credit DQ's overarching attitude about competition and fearlessness with Washington's ability to win these close games.
Yeah.
We knew we would have to improve, you know, as we're going. And there's still a lot for us to improve upon. But the complementary football was one of the things that I just wasn't going to back off of this week. If we had the time of possession that got out of whack, it'd been hard. Some of the weapons on offense there are legitimate, you know, guys that are difficult to stop. And so that, to me, was a great sign to see us all together. I don't believe we punted. So to have long drives, I love when Tresh doesn't punt. So those are usually good things for us. Mm-hmm. But at the end, just, you know, incredibly proud, like getting the ball, getting a chance. We had gotten stopped on the fourth down with the throw to Zach in the end zone. So to have the ball right there and give us another crack at it, you know, at the end, that's what it was about.
That's what it's about. Give Jaden a chance. All I need is a chip and a chair.
There you go.
All I need is one mic, Jeff. Wow. Here's what we're going to do. We got to go around the NFL. Dallas kind of just fired their coach. What the hell are the Cowboys going to do? Where does Mike McCarthy end up? Serious question, is Ron Rivera in play? Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. From big upsets to game-winning drives, the NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. The FanDuel app gives you everything you need from live bets, same-game parlays, and so much more. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid instantly. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today and get started with $200 in bonus bets. That's FanDuel.com/Brian. Make this playoff season unforgettable with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like this song, Jeff?
I did not request this song.
It's kind of a banger, though. Crank it, Landville.
I was just singing it.
They keep saying... I think White Brian gets steamed up for this song. He's moving his mic around. Adjusting his crotch. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Maybe they're seeing something we don't, darling. Cowboys give them something to talk about. Jerry, dude, I enjoy their demise. So
he wouldn't let the man speak, and then he fires him anyway.
So
I would have quit.
So the Bears reached out to talk to Mike McCarthy. Jerry wouldn't let him because he had 3 or 4 days left on his contract and claimed he wanted to get it done. Now they can't get it done. Mike McCarthy officially will not be the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Apparently they were doing okay, and then they couldn't get – they couldn't figure out the years involved.
Jerry was going to fire that man anyway, dog.
I'm reading this. This is from Darlington. He says, following a week of uncertainty within the Cowboys coaching staff, marked by what I'm told included both Mike McCarthy's stalled contract negotiations and Mike Zimmer's contemplation of retirement, McCarthy sent a final text message to his staff this morning instructing them to clear out their offices a day before their contracts were set to expire. McCarthy said he would reach out to each assistant individually at a later time. So that means they're blowing the whole thing up. If all the assistants are gone.
So what does Zimmer have to do with it?
I guess Zimmer was talking about quitting.
He'll quit if Mike. So is Zimmer going to be the next head coach?
Good luck. I don't know. And I know this. I'm curious what you think timing-wise. Robert Kraft and the New England Patriots were having a big old song and dance to introduce Mike Vrabel as their new head coach. Vrabel's been hired by the Pats.
Mm-hmm.
This Jerry McCarthy stuff hit at the exact time Vrabel and Kraft were sitting down.
Mm-mm.
Think that's an accident?
No, not at all. Jerry wants to always keep the attention on him. But Listen, for a long time, I've always said that that fan base loved Jerry and he's going to be around. But they're starting to look at Jerry like we were looking at Dan. They're tired of his crap now.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
All right. I've got odds on who is the favorite to be the next head coach at some of these spots. Mike McCarthy now is a major contender for a lot of these jobs. I honestly think for Mike McCarthy, this is the best possible outcome.
I just got one real quick question. Did we break the Cowboys when we took Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr.?
Probably so.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. I think Biotis was a big part of that operation. He's a pretty steady guy, calming influence. But McCarthy legitimately is in play for the Saints, the Bears, and the Jets, I think. The only thing that's done now is Vrabel to New England.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders is open. Everything else is open. So odds on the Bears' next coach. Ben Johnson, -125.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McCarthy, 2-1. Kingsbury, 7-1. Pete Carroll, 7-1.
You don't have Ron in there?
Ron, 33-1.
Mm.
I think Ron should be higher. I'm tempted to throw $20 on that. What's $20 at 33-1 pay?
$600-something.
Kind of juicy. Who do you think ends up getting that Bears job?
It's going to be an offensive-minded guy. They're going to want somebody to come in there and be able to handle Caleb.
They typically want vets, though.
Yeah, but
I wouldn't be shocked if McCarthy gets that.
Well, they if they look at what's been happening for him for a long time, then they might want to go with somebody that's not a vet.
Cowboys' next coach. They're saying Kellen Moore is the leader, who's now calling plays in Philly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously played there, coached there for a while. What do you think about Kellen Moore running Dallas?
Take him.
Looking at these odds, guess who? So Kellen Moore is +250. Guess who's 3-1, B?
Hmm?
Coach Prime.
To be in Dallas?
3-1. Deion.
You think Jerry's ready for that? Because Jerry does not want anybody to overshadow Jerry. Deion will overshadow Jerry.
Hell yeah, he will.
Yeah.
I don't see that. Honestly, I don't know, but I don't see it. They've got Kingsbury on here, then Joe Brady, Lincoln Riley, USC quarterback, Ben Johnson, Bill Belichick. I did see a report that Belichick didn't know they were going to get rid of McCarthy, or he might not have taken Carolina, because apparently Bill and Jerry get along great.
Well, you know, Bill really don't give a damn about what they say.
Like you. Jerry
Bill,
generally,
Bill knows what he is and what he's about.
Jerry generally hires guys that have already been coaches, so it's going to be fascinating to watch how that shakes out. Then you've got the Jaguars there. Liam Cohen is the favorite to get that job. We watched Liam Cohen's offense last night. He's been the Bucs OC. I think he's a pretty sharp guy. I have no idea his ability to run a team or anything. But You've got the Raiders' next head coach, where Ben Johnson is also the favorite to get that job. Then you've got Deion and Pete Carroll. I guess there's a chance the Raiders could maybe get Shador. I kind of doubt it. The Raiders pick 6th overall.
Mm-hmm.
But Deion wearing silver and black in Vegas, I feel like I could see that.
Yeah.
Are you possibly worried about Cliff going to the Raiders? Because, like, Cliff Kingsbury was kind of in Tom Brady's running crew at one point, and Tom Brady's, like, running the Raiders now.
Well, Tom Brady has all kind of stuff to worry about this weekend because he's calling the game.
Right.
And they've already warned him about everything.
Here's what I think with Cliff, because he's going to get at least mentioned with all of these jobs. I don't know that he leaves, but he just put on, like, if you're only as good as your last game, it was pretty damn good, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his stock will be incredibly high.
Yeah.
That's not to say it won't be a year from now. But if you like the Raiders' job, or you just like Vegas, and you like Tom, and you believe in how they're going to build this thing going forward, and they fired Telesco, too. They fired the GM.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you kind of get – like, the relationship Peters and Dan Quinn have is very similar to what Kyle and John Lynch had,
mm-hmm.
very similar to – gosh, I'm blanking on his name. What's the Lions GM's name? I could picture him, Brad Holmes. Mm-hmm. Like, Holmes and Campbell are really tight. Like, kind of this modern approach with coaches and GMs is that they, like, meet all week and go through practice tape. Like, it's a different approach. And if the rubber meets the road, one guy does have say over the other. In this situation, it's AP. Mm-hmm. But, like, in San Fran, that's probably Kyle. I don't know who it is in Detroit. But if you're Cliff and you get to pick your GM and you get to go in with Brady knowing that, all right, we need 2 years, we got to find our quarterback, something like that, I could see that being a pretty appealing job. Not to mention, dude clearly likes the desert. Played in Lubbock, lives in Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
And there's worse towns to be a young football coach. I don't know. Vegas, I think, is interesting. The Jets, I like this hire, and I hope they go through with it.
Who?
You know who the leader in the clubhouse is to be the Jets' new head
coach? Well, Rex Ryan says it's him.
Well, I can say that I want a Range Rover. I'm going to keep driving my 4Runner. It's a dude that played for them.
The Jets?
Yeah.
Vinny Testaverde.
No. Different defensive player.
Mm.
Who Washington will see this weekend.
Revis.
Washington ain't seeing him this weekend.
They might.
Aaron Glenn.
Aaron?
Aaron Glenn is the Lions defensive coordinator. Really impressive dude. And he is plus 150 to get that job. Brian Flores is next at plus 300. Dog, you guys help me with this one. Apparently, the dude that was the interim coach was Ulbrich, as I've seen him on anybody's list. So for the Jets, it's Aaron Glenn, Brian Flores, Jeff Ulbrich, Joe Brady, Bills OC. You know who's next?
Who?
Ron. 7-1.
And how many people have been ahead of him?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
Apparently, though, Aaron Glenn also might get the Saints job, but it now seems like Mike McCarthy's going to have a real crack at that thing. This is going to be a fascinating cycle. I don't know what's going to happen with Cliff, but we are going to have to hear about it all the time. B, we're running out of time. I wanted to run through all that, especially because the Cowboys stink, which I always enjoy discussing. What do you think was the most impressive playoff performance we've seen so far, non-Commanders division?
Most impressive? What Lamar and Josh did was special to me.
Dude, that game.
Again.
I mean, that game's going to be special. But I think the whole world had written Houston off.
Yeah.
And Houston decided
Houston
to
came out
the
and,
Chargers
and, yeah,
ass.
Yeah, they did that.
Which I thought pretty darn impressive. You know, looking at all the games, Washington's the only underdog that won, the only road team that won. You obviously got another game tonight. I don't even know who you call the road team at this point.
Mm-hmm.
With these fires tonight, it's so hard to know how that's going to impact the game, if at all. It might not, but just a wildly impressive weekend. One thing that we noticed for sure when we landed, we were quickly reminded how damn cold it is.
Yeah, it's cold here, bro.
The cold Washington winter has arrived. Make sure your residential or commercial heating system is ready to keep you warm and cozy all season long by calling the five-star heating experts at Crop Metcalf. A Crop Metcalf five-star technician has the training and know-how to properly fix and maintain your system and catch any potential problems before you're left out in the cold. Even more, let Crop Metcalf help you increase the efficiency and lifespan of your system while decreasing energy bills. The experts at Crop Metcalf can spot small problems before they turn into potentially costly repairs, saving you even more cash. For peace of mind all season long, do what I always do. Call the five-star heating experts at Crop Metcalf. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician. If you ever need evidence that we need Jeff on the stream, yo, White Brian, why can't you get Jeff a camera on the stream? This is your whole job now. Get some more cameras, dog.
I'm on it.
All right. How about that? I also realized I don't know that I gave the stream that much love today. It's been a pretty busy day. I'm scrolling up.
Return of the Mac.
Jeff, you can sing it, dog.
Oh, my God. Here I am.
Wow, that sounds terrible.
This is my theme song, JP.
That's like
for
a
real.
Drowning cat. All right, it took me a minute to scroll all the way back up. I got Strizzy first. He said, doink. Just like that, playoff win in the bag. Bring on the Lions.
There you go.
Is that accurate, why Brian Strizzy was first?
Yep, his fourth of the year already.
Wow.
Yeah,
how many shows have we had this year?
Do you sleep?
How many shows have we had this year?
What's today? 13th?
Today's the 13th. So today's
one.
We
missed 11 and 12.
Right. So five last week, so that's six.
I have eight accounted for.
Okay. Sounds about right. What a world, man. Commanders get their first dub. Playing the Lions. Look ahead lines are kind of big. 8.5. I got to be honest. Kind of like the points. Right? Like.
Hell yeah.
It gets harder and harder not to at least kind of like them. 8.5. Now, Detroit can score, and they can score in a hurry, but you know who else could score?
Washington.
Jaden Daniels, dude.
Yep.
What, Jeff? What are you staring at me?
Bro, you start talking about bet, and you ain't give us the sounder.
That's Saturday's game. That's obviously not today's game, which I'll bet on.
Bro.
Let's get to the sounder. Heard it here first.
There we go.
Another round.
Now, Jeffrey, I was only talking about that as a look ahead. Obviously, tonight we got some action.
Hey,
time,
bro.
Time for some action.
Some action.
This call heard it here first, so I'm going to say it first. You better take the Commanders' money line Saturday, and you better take the Rams' money line tonight.
All right. Jeff is in. He's taking the Rams tonight. Rams are 2.5-point dogs. Jeff's taking
who
the money
playing?
Line. Playing in Arizona.
The Vikings.
Playing the Vikings. 2.5-point dog.
Dude, on ESPN Bet, you can get the Commanders are plus 400 money line Saturday night. If you like them, pretty damn juicy.
Man.
For tonight.
Jeff already put bad luck on the Rams.
Keep it. Tonight, it's 2.5, 47.5. I'll never understand why Jeff would put the money line in on the Rams in a fake bet when he could get the points, but Jeff's going to Jeff. We also, Caps play tonight, right? I think the Caps play tonight. I think the Terps play tonight. Landini, what do you like tonight? Caps do not play tonight.
Rams.
Lanfield taking the Rams. White Brian?
CJ Ham to score a touchdown.
CJ Ham to score a touchdown. That's the fullback? You taking the fullback there, sir?
Yep.
Okay. I like it.
We're over on the 47.
47 and a hook.
Give me the under.
I like the under. White Brian, I know you like college hoops. The University of Maryland is 15.5-point favorites over Minnesota. What has happened to Minnesota?
Yeah, they have one good player, and besides that, nobody.
Damn. Golden Gophers are struggling. I am not touching a 15.5-point line. That's too rich for my blood. I like Rutgers at home against UCLA. UCLA can't buy a bucket. I watched some of that game on the plane when they played Maryland last weekend. So I'm going to take Rutgers with the points at home. I'm going to watch this football game tonight, obviously.
I plan to watch it.
Yeah, I might watch it back in my eyelids.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, B, how do you think the Fires impact this game tonight?
I mean, when these guys go on, that's their safe place, man. When they get on the football field, they're not thinking about much at all. They're going to be thinking about the game.
I honestly think the impact is significantly greater on the Rams because they got families dealing with this stuff, whereas the Vikings are just flying to town for a football game. They fly to L.A., they fly to Arizona.
Hell, some of them guys on the Vikings may live in L.A.
Yeah.
You never know. So, but I think once they're on the field, they're on the field.
I got a stat for you as we get ready for Grant and Danny coming your way next. Just saw this from Earl Forsey. Ready for this, B?
What you got?
Washington 3-0 all time against Detroit in the postseason.
I was in a couple of those.
Hell, you're probably 2-0 against them.
We got them in 95. No, 1991 and also 99.
NFC title game.
We beat them in 99 right before we went to play against the Raiders.
Was Charlie Batch their quarterback that year?
I don't remember.
I think he was.
We got to reach out to Charlie this week.
We do. We sure do. Thank you to everybody listening to the program today. Thank you to Joe Theismann for joining us. We had a ton of calls. I enjoyed them. Thank you to the boys in the aquarium. I'm going to thank me and B-Mitch for gutting this one out.
Yeah.
Your boys are tired.
This is hard, bro.
Grant and Danny coming your way next. Those guys are fired up. We're back tomorrow live from Ashburn. Thanks for listening. You made it this far. I owe you a beer.